Hello, everybody. So we got word this week that we'll only have to do this a couple more times, and although it's been fun and interesting, I'll be glad when we don't have to record and do this again. But it was a great opportunity for us to be able to continue on with church in a different way, and I hope these times have blessed you. But we are looking forward to seeing everybody in a socially distancing way. And so please go on our Facebook page and look at the thing that Andrew wrote about what we expect from you when you come, and you will need to make reservations, so just be aware of that. We're going to start our service praying, and then we'll get going with our worship set. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We love you, and I pray that you bless this time. May your Holy Spirit rest on this place. Be with our instruments. Be with our vocals. Be with the sound. Be with the slides. Be everything that we need this morning. May we hear from you. Amen. I hope that if you are spiritually thirsty, or when you get spiritually thirsty, that you come to the source of water that never runs dry. And this is what this song is about, and I'm sure you all know it. It's called Come to the Water.
Bring our hearts to life. You bring our hearts to life.
This next song is nothing new for our own church people, but if you're joining us and don't normally come to our church service, you may recognize this song is not really a church song, but I know that the words, we can relate to these things, and sometimes the unexpected happens, and sometimes there's times for loving, there's times for weeping, there's times for gladness, and all those things have a purpose. And so if you know this song or recognize it, sing it out. This next song is one of my favorites. It's called Chain Breaker, and we do it a lot here at our church. And if you need to hear the words of this song, and there's stuff that's holding you back and chains that are holding you down, he's the chain breaker. So sing it out where you're at.
And miles. receive it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker.
There's been countless times in my life when he's come to my rescue in many different ways, whether it's physically, spiritually, mentally. And I'm so glad that I know him and that I can reach out to him at any time I need to. And this song is called Came to My Rescue.
Falling on my knees in worship.
Our last song today is Good, Good Father. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. He can't be anything but good. Amen. When in a world that there's a lot of things that aren't good, he holds true to that. So let's sing this out. Joining us today, let's close our time with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for each one out there that's listening right now. May this service be what you need, what they need. And Lord, may your blessing be upon their homes. And Lord, please keep everyone safe, as I know this part of the country we've had less cases of this, and I pray that continue and that people will be wise and be considerate of others. And we just want you to bless our community, our town, this province, Lord, and we just thank you for each one. And wherever they're watching from across the world, we just want to bless this time and their place, and we just thank you for who you are and what you're going to do. Amen. See you later.
Hi, DWC. We got great news this week that we're going to be able to start meeting in groups of 50. And so we want you to be watching the website. We've got a whole list of rules and the new way things will be done. So that's going to start the first week in July. So 2 more weeks and we'll be together. And we're quite excited about that. Of course, we got word that if you've been around people and you've been bubbling with 10 or whatever it is, that you could be closer now. So
the bubble is bursted.
The bubble is bursted. So that's kind of good. Anyway, we're looking forward to meeting you guys in person. Finally, we're going to do groups of 50, a couple of services. There's a way to register your family and your seat. So please check out all of those things. Right now, we're going to be able to finish James before we get together live. And I'm excited about that. I hope you've enjoyed James. Again, it's the study that we've chosen to call Walk the Line. Because again, remember, James is telling us how we should be acting as believers and how we should be living. And so finally, we're gonna second to last one, James. I'm going to start to read chapter 5, verse 7 to 12. And it says this. Please follow along in your Bibles. It says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen that the Lord what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned." Again, pretty fascinating passage.
Yeah, so let's go right to verse 7. Take a look. As I was kind of studying this, kind of realize, he says here, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Why didn't James just say, be patient, brothers and sisters? He threw in that word then. And if you get into looking at the translations of that and what that, just that little tiny word means in there, he's reflecting back to the first part that Andrew talked about last week. Last week, James just got done kind of coming down on the rich people within the church or within his listeners. Okay, and it's very, very likely that the people that James is talking to now when he's saying, be patient, brothers and sisters, could have been people living under oppression of those rich people. People who likely would have had a lot of anger, malice, and, you know, hard feelings towards these people. So James is trying to kind of talk them down after coming down on the rich people. It was rich people in this certain situation in the church, right? And so he's telling them to be patient. And if we think about it, what would the opposite of being patient be in this situation? What would the alternative be? And I guess there'd be two. In these guys' situation, it would have been either acting out now, you know, taking vengeance and giving these guys what they deserve, which obviously is wrong, right? And the other alternative would have been to sit there and suffer silently, letting your anger and your anxiety and all these harsh feelings eat away at everything that you are, which again would be unhealthy. And so what's James's alternative? He's saying you got to be patient. You got to be patient. You got to let God take care of this. You got to get it out of your mind and you need to move on with life. And the example that he uses, he talks about a farmer. And we know that this farmer, you know, he has two wet seasons that he needs to work around. Okay? Or, you know, that he would have rains. What does he say? It'd be autumn and spring, was it? Yeah. I believe so. Anyway, and so what the farmer needs to do is he can't sit there and he can't rush the situation. He can't try and push the harvesting of his crop to an earlier date. But he also can't sit there and just wait for the rain to come. He needs to prepare. He needs to be doing something. He needs to be working in anticipation of what's to come. And so in the same way, we can't be consumed by anger and grumbling and hopes of vengeance for those who oppose us or oppress us, because patience means giving it to God and getting on with our life, which hopefully is living for Him and trying to live the best Christian life that we can. We contrast this thought of being patient and you know, in the farmer's case, waiting for the rain, contrast that with our own life now and the lack of patience that we exhibit on a daily basis, All right, we live in a very, very instant society, which is a weird point in time. When we look at, you know, Jesus would have lived 2,000 years ago, even 100 years ago, we didn't have half the luxuries that we live with today. A couple examples being, how about like drive-thrus? How about ATMs? How about drive-through ATMs? We have so many luxuries that make our life instant and make everything that we need at the push of a button or at the voice of a speaker. I even think like superstores getting a lot more business right now because you don't have to wait. Not only do you not have to go into the store, you can order it online before you're at work or while you're at work, and it's ready when you're done work. There's no waiting involved with your grocery shopping anymore if you're working through them. And we just live in that kind of society. And in a way, that mentality that we develop with this instant society can bleed into our church life. And you think about it. We're not all as patient as maybe our ancestors back in the day. I mean, we have multiple service times. We have multiple service days. You can get church whenever you want church. If you've slept in or for some reason you've missed church on the multiple days that it's happened, you can tune into our podcast. And you know what? You don't like that? There's other churches all around the county, and there's just ways for you to get church however you want instantaneously. There is no patience involved, right? We can choose when it best suits us, which makes committing and being involved hard. And it's just one of these ideas of why patience is so crucial in our lives, even as Christians in the church.
That's right. And so James is calling us to that patience, you know, but he also calls us to a specific task when it comes to patience, and he says, be patient in the Lord's coming. And it's kind of interesting. We're called to stand firm, he says, because the Lord's coming is near. And that's kind of interesting. And he goes on to say that we're not to grumble with one another, brothers and sisters. And the reason why, because he says, the judge is standing at the door. Now, again, I don't want us to miss the importance of that, because that's kind of a big deal, that we're called to act like Christians, to behave like Christians, not to grumble with one another. Why? Because the judge is standing at the door. That's a pretty big deal. I was thinking of this. You know, there's times when my kids know, and I'm getting them, you know, ready, getting them to do this, getting them to do that. The tasks are getting missed, all those sort of things. How awful would it be if somebody's coming to knock on the door and the first thing they hear is, "I will kill you!" Right? And then you hear the knock on the door. "Hi, Pastor, are you here?" It's like, wow, okay, we're caught, right? And James is kind of talking about that you know what, you've got to be careful and you've got to be watching because the judge is at the door. And in fact, you're not supposed to be grumbling with one another. In other words, he can hear you, right? And some fascinating verses. If you guys like to study end times and the second coming and the Lord's coming and all those sorts of things, there's some really neat passages. Of course, Daniel and Revelation are amazing and they go hand in hand. But Matthew 25 is one of those verses where Jesus is talking about some parables and some things that are going to happen. And also Luke 12 is another one that kind of talks about us being ready. And I want to read from Luke 12 because that's one that not everybody is familiar with. Usually a lot of people have read Matthew 25. But Luke 12, verse 35, starting, it says this. It says, "Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes." So again, this idea that we are called constantly in the Word to be watching and to have our lamps trimmed and have enough oil and all those sorts of things when it talks about the waiting of the Lord. And James is kind of, you know, stating that again as he gets near the end of his writing, that we need to be ready, we need to be watching, because the Lord is already at our door. And so it's been interesting because this pandemic has brought some cool conversations my way. People that maybe haven't been thinking about church or thinking about the end times or thinking about the world are kind of being a little awoken to some of the changing things because it's happened so fast, right? And so my biggest question that I've had during this pandemic is, "Hey, Andrew, come here. Is this part of the end?" And I'm going, "Yeah, like absolutely. This is part of the end times." It's kind of interesting to me. Like, you will hear things like, you know, the reset. and one world order and one world economy and all these sorts of things. And it's kind of interesting. Like, we're hearing these ideas. Everybody's afraid to pass currency because they're worried about passing the virus on these. So you know what? Maybe we need to go to a different kind of currency and put a chip in you so that you can transfer money and do all those sorts of things. And then the chip may have a GSP, so, or
GPS,
is that what's, oh, GSP, I'm thinking of the fighter, sorry. I was reading about him yesterday, so that's how the subconscious works. A GPS chip in you so that they can locate you, know where you are. And with pandemics, if they say you are quarantined to home, we know if you leave because you've already taken the chip. We think about the world and the economy. Like, the economy has been so messed up in Canada and the world for a long time, and people are spending money they don't have. Countries are spending money they don't have. When they talk about a reset, we're talking about an economy maybe going to one world currency. All of these things are not new for us as Christians because we read about them in Daniel and Revelation, like I said before. And so we're told to be watching. Like, I don't want to take a chip, even though they're going to put economic pressure upon me to do so, because it says that that's the mark of the beast, and as a believer, I'm not supposed to take that. So James is saying, you know what, we better be watching, we better be ready. You think about this, even pandemics, you know, if the rapture happens and there's, you know, 100 million people missing one day, how are they going to explain that away? Well, they're going to say, you get quarantined, you go to your home, we've got you chipped. If you leave, you're going to face jail time or fines, where you have to deal with these dead. Well, we're not dead. We're more alive than ever. We'll be raptured with the Lord. So, but that's how they're going to explain some of those things away. So it's kind of interesting that we are called by James to be watching. And certainly in the days in which we live, I hope that you would agree as a believer that it really feels like Jesus is already at the door, that the judge is at the door.
Yeah. Be ready and be patient in the face of suffering. Essentially, like, we're going to see some weird things. We're going to experience some strange things. And James is really preparing that in a strange way. If you take a peek down at verse 10, what does he say? He says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. Let them be the example of suffering. And which is absolutely terrifying, because I don't know if you've ever read the Bible, but an example, just one example, and there's many, there are many examples. Yeah. Ezekiel.
We were talking about those earlier. It's terrifying.
Absolutely ridiculous.
When we look at the prophets, they went through some stuff.
But Ezekiel definitely had the most unfortunate of circumstances. Maybe not the most, but it's up there. One was that he had to cook his food on human excrement.
Humbling.
Cook your food on some poop, right? Like, that's pretty amazing. Like, the, anyway, he's comparing our suffering to what some of the prophets had to experience. Lying on his side, just picture this, for 430 days alternating back and forth.
And that's
this,
just,
this is an Ezekiel.
That's just Ezekiel. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, but the prophets were asked to do very weird things as object lessons.
Very strange.
To
the
people who weren't listening to them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And anyway, just it blows my mind. They had it rough. It must have sucked. And so great news for us, because James is like, yeah, well, compare some sufferings to what they had to go through, right? You know, they were called to bring a harsh word to really difficult people. And so they were rejected. They were hunted. They were on the run. And I was kind of thinking, I think it was Isaiah who was hiding in a cave from the queen that was trying to kill him. And like, it's just these guys lived lives that were absolutely foreign to what we would ever deal with. Like, how dare we have to wait to go get our groceries, right? Like, these guys had it so much worse, so miserable, right? And that's James's example for you and I. We even think of Job, right? I mean, Job lost it all. And even though it seemed like a bit of a consolation that he gained so much more back after it was all over, he was given new sons and new daughters, it doesn't replace what was lost.
No,
there was,
right.
Like, make no mistake, there's some serious suffering going on there. And so Job's story is not a story about Job, just as our story can't be a story about us. It's a story about God. Yeah. Right? In our weaknesses and in the struggles and in the trials, in our frailness, brokenness, God is the one that needs to be seen. And this is where God can be at his very best for us, for the world to see, because it's where miracles can happen. And crazy, amazing things can be put on display. It's just unfortunate that sometimes we have to deal with some of those sufferings. But if we truly believe that it's about more than us, it's going to seem so minor and so minuscule. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" And we look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." You know, whatever we face, whatever trials we have to deal with, we got it. We can handle it. And again, it's not because of our strength. It's not about us. And I know that's really difficult for us to grasp because we are the center of our universe. We are the ones who experience our own consciousness and our own trials and our own issues. Of course, it's going to be amplified, but we're not the ones that need to be strong because God's strong.
Yeah. And so James is pretty neat because he's warning us that it's going to get hard, but then he's also reminding us of God's compassion and mercy, like Kirtland said, that it's going to get hard, but we can draw from his strength. I always remember a story that Dr. H.C. Wilson shared when he was with Global Partners, and it was about a Muslim man. And for those of you who don't know, some of the Muslim nations, they don't allow the Bible in any way, shape, or form. It's been outlawed. It's been banned. And so anyway, this one particular Muslim that used to have ties with Global Partners, HC was telling us that his goal was, he said he wanted to hand out Bibles. Again, doing something illegal, but not causing any harm. And so he was passing out Bibles when all of a sudden a gang came and saw what he was doing, and they beat the tar out of him. I mean, they left him for dead. They beat him. Bones were broken. Ribs were messed up. He was left bleeding, left for dead. When the gang took off, there was a family that happened to see the beating, and they took compassion on this feller. And they said that they took him into his home, in their home, and they bandaged him up. And they had to keep checking on him because they didn't know if he was even going to make it. That's how badly he was beaten. And then they got up early the next morning to go check to see if he had made it through the night. And his bed was empty. And they went to look for him, and they found that he had crawled back out onto the street to give out more Bibles. Wow. And you think about that. Like, that's incredible. It was so crazy what he went through, and yet he wanted to stay the course. It was so crazy what his body had already experienced, but he found strength to crawl outside and keep going because his focus was God. And C.S. Lewis was asked one time, and I love C.S. Lewis, especially I've been thinking of him since Rabbi Zacharias' passing and some of these great apologetic writers that have always helped me with my faith. And C.S. Lewis was asked one time why the righteous suffer. Like, why do Christians have to seem to go through so much? Yeah. And he said this, because they're the only ones who can take it. And that's such a simple but amazing answer. It's like James saying that it's going to get hard, but God is full of that compassion and mercy, that it's tough, but we can persevere. Yeah. You know, that it's hard, but we need to be watching, that sometimes it's going to get crazy, but we need to stay the course. And that's amazing to me. And I think about even this, being in the end times, which I believe we are, and James is talking about things getting hard, and we're going to see things that get a little harder sometimes. The amazing part is that God believes in us. Mm. Like I have Christians, when I talk to them sometimes about the end times, and some of them get a little nervous. You should not get nervous. You should get excited. And the point is this, is that God chose you for a time just as this. Yeah. And there's a lot of times we don't believe in ourselves because we know our weaknesses. But God believes in us, right? That he chose us for this moment of honor. And another person that I thought of was Charles Spurgeon, and he had some neat writings. This is one of his quotes that I want to share with you today. It was really amazing to me. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "It is no mean thing to be chosen of God. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in a palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred. Fashion is destroyed. Strength is melted. Glory is consumed. Yet there, eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice." And I think about that again, this idea that God chose us. And yes, it's going to be a furnace, and that's when everything is revealed. But again, this idea that God's choice makes choice men and women for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so God believes in us, and I want you to know that today, that even if this whole idea of talking about the end times kind of makes you a little nervous, you shouldn't be nervous. You should be honored, and you should be excited, and know that God has compassion and mercy, even though James is reminding us there's tough times ahead, it's going to get hard. You've got this because God is big enough. God's got this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the core of who we are should be different. And anyway, moving on here, we're going to read this last verse. Although I was kind of laughing, it seems very, very different from the rest of what James is talking about here, but absolutely relevant. And he says, starting in or it's just verse 12, "Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you'll be condemned," right? You should be different. You don't have to swear. You don't have to cross my heart and hope to die, or I swear on my great-grandma's grave, because we should be different inside. It shouldn't have to be necessary of us. Like, what have we done in the past that has made it so that we feel the need to swear on something in order to tell people that our word is truth? We shouldn't have to.
No. And people should know that, because you should be different. Again, that's what the whole book of James is talking about.
Yeah.
That you should be walking the line, that your word should be your bond. And I was thinking of that story of the Muslim fella who, he took a great beating, but he said he was going to pass out Bibles, and it didn't matter. It wasn't about the beating. It wasn't about his life.
Yes was yes.
Yeah, he was crawling back out to continue the task, and we should be no different. You know, we should do what we say. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's one that I kind of think about. You know, they stood before the king, and the king said, "You're going to bow, or you're going to face the furnace." And they said, "No." And so they heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than they ever, you know, had done before, because he was so ripping mad. And he said, "So there's the furnace." And they're like, "So?" Yeah. But it's this idea that they were not going to bow. The furnace didn't matter. Yeah. And, you know, for us, it's amazing. As a Christian, I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life where the Lord seems to wait till the very last hour, and then he comes through. And you know what? He comes through is the point. And it's scary while we wait, but it's amazing. It's like you have to be thrown into the furnace sometimes before that fourth feller shows up. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and one that looked like the Christ was in the fire. That's what the king saw. Well, it was. We believe that Jesus physically went into them and revealed himself to them in the fire, and they weren't hurt. Mm. And so the idea that we need to choose what we say and be serious about that and then live it out, no matter what the cost is, that's what a believer is all about. Our yes should be yes and our no should be no. James is calling us to a consistency that is unlike anything in the world, right? Yep. And that's why we called this series To Walk the Line. We need to walk the line as believers so that the world can see that foundation that we build upon. If it's God, then it's unshakable.
Yeah.
Well, if our foundation is unshakable, then we should be unshakable, right? If God is the one who rules our life and he does not change like the shifting sands, right? Like that's what it says in the word. So then if he lives within us, we shouldn't be changing either.
Yeah.
We should be constant. The world is always looking at us and judging Christians. And I hear that all the time. And you know what? Sometimes I know that that's justified. I don't think it's fair, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they are looking for the inconsistencies, because it's so much easier for them to call you or I a hypocrite than it is for them to change their ways, right?
Yeah.
And why are they looking? They're looking because the Holy Spirit is have them under conviction, and they know there's a better way, but they want to explain it away, because then it takes away their responsibility.
Shift the focus away. Yeah.
It takes away the responsibility. So it's interesting, because really, think about this with me, church. Faulty Christianity is the world's excuse. And it's a good one. It's a sad one, but it's reality, right? And so a true faith on display, what does it do? It lights up the darkness, right? And it cannot be dismissed. And really, that's God's plan all along. That if you proclaim to be different, then really be different. Mm-hmm. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's no longer me. It's no longer Andrew that lives, but it's Christ that lives in Andrew. And when that's true, that's a pretty haunting reality. Right? That people cannot dismiss, because they know I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not consistent enough. So when those things start to happen, they're going, what makes Andrew different? And he keeps claiming it to be Christ, and pretty soon they can't deny that. And you know what? That's the truth that leads to Savior.
Yeah.
And so I hope that we'll be doing that. Anyway, guys, we wanna stop there. We've got one session left. We're going to be finishing off James, and then we're finally meeting live. So in 2 weeks, we are going to be meeting live. Again, check our website. Check the Facebook page. There's instructions there. You have to reserve a seat. You're going to get a confirmation number, and we're going to go from there. There's some other rules when you get into the parking lot, some rules when you come into the building, some rules when you leave. So we're trying to do our best to keep everybody safe. And again, if you are not ready to come back, there is no guilt in that. I totally understand. You can join us on the podcast. That will be available online, and please take as long as you need to take before you come back. And we pray that this will just stick, and our numbers will be able to grow, and pretty soon those restrictions will be lifted altogether.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so let's pray with you, okay? Lord, we want to say thank you for James again. Ah, it's hard, but it's truth. And Lord, I pray that we would be found walking the line. That Lord, we are living in a days that are really peculiar. We're living in a days that are going to be tough. And yet, Father God, we can be consistent despite all of the pain and the trials. We can be consistent. And so, Lord, it's not about our strength, it's about your strength. And I pray that we would always be found there, letting our light so shine before men that they would acknowledge you. And Lord, that's the goal. So, Lord, help us to shine bright into the darkness and help us to be steadfast in the days in which we're living, Lord. Just let us be all that you dream for us to be, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll see you guys next week.